The Sloth Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Sloth Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/Sloth Sports Report. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Sloth Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Sloth, here on a fantastic Friday. And as you can see, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. What a crazy week. I mean, we just had in the National Football League, and not even that, big games in the NBA. MLB baseball is back, baby. Starting opening day on April 7th, baseball is back. What a big thing that is, you know, getting the sport of baseball back after, you know, it looked like for the longest time it wasn't coming back. But in fact, it is on April 7th, opening day. Excited to have it back. Spring training starting to roll along. Looks like next week will really kick into gear. So excited to get back into the full swing of things with baseball, but exciting weeks ahead. You know, next week, the NFL free agency opens up. March Madness is starting up soon with college basketball playoffs. Big games up ahead in the NBA. We get towards the NBA playoffs. Now the MLB is back. We got the NFL draft in April. Oh my God, what a time to be a sports fan right now. But today on the Sloth Sports Show, big NFL day to talk about because all the big news that happened this week. We had three trades happen this week, two of them big name quarterbacks. We just had a monster contract signing a few hours ago. We had big news coming out of Houston regarding Deshaun Watson that we'll start with. We also had the franchise tag deadline on Tuesday. Next week, like I said, NFL free agency opens up, so we'll preview that as well. A loaded show we're going to have for you guys today. I'm excited to talk about it, excited to have you guys with me. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get started with the episode today, and let's start with the breaking news in Deshaun Watson and what we have going on with the situation in Houston. And looking back at this past week in the contracts, the trades that happened at the quarterback position and the return value that happened, big news out of the Houston Texans regarding Deshaun Watson and his future in the National Football League and with the team. We'll pull it up here. Here you see it with Ian Rappaport. Now that the criminal matters are over and Deshaun Watson won't be charged, expect his trade market to ramp up quickly. Teams have been waiting. This clears the path for a deal by the start of the league year next week. So Deshaun Watson expected to be on the move is huge news in the National Football League right now, especially with what happened in the trade we'll talk about next with Russell Wilson, what he was able to get from the Denver Broncos in terms of his trade value. Deshaun Watson has to go for at least three first-round picks. You got to throw in some players. You might throw in some seconds and some later-round picks. Like, this is going to be a monster trade that could happen in the next few days with Deshaun Watson. It's not going to happen today. Deshaun Watson has come out publicly now, spoke to reporters for the first time, and his agent came out as well in the last few minutes, last hour, pretty much with this situation unfolding right now, breaking. But Deshaun Watson wants to take some time to ponder his options. You know, he does have that no-trade clause with the Houston Texans that he is adamant about using to his advantage, making sure he ends up in the right situation, being a quarterback for the new franchise for the next decade and even more, leading a new team at the quarterback spot. And, you know, we have these four teams up here on this graphic where it's looking like they're the ones that have the most interest. Another team out of those ones that we can throw in, two more could be the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New Orleans Saints. But you have the Carolina Panthers, the Philadelphia Eagles, Seattle Seahawks, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the front runners right now for Deshaun Watson. Now that it looks like he will be available for trade in the next few days. And look at this contract breakdown that we have courtesy of Field Yates' Twitter right there. Deshaun Watson's contract would be as such for a team acquiring him in a trade. 2022 have a $35 million salary, $35 million cap hit. Next year, 2023, $20 million salary, $17 million roster bonus, $37 million cap hit. And then, respectfully, in 2024 and 2025, $32 million salary and $32 million cap hit. So a big contract that a next team will be taking on for Deshaun Watson. But you look at the terms of the value they're getting out of him. A guy who's just now entering into his prime, has been great every single year he's played in the National Football League. If he is officially available and a trade will be done, this is huge. And yes, of course, you should expect a suspension to come from the NFL in terms of Deshaun Watson here in the next few days, especially if a team steps in and makes a deal done. Similar to what happened with Ben Roethlisberger back early in his career, just a short, maybe 6-game suspension to start the season. But you're not trading him for this. You're not trading for Deshaun Watson to have him for this season. You're trading for Deshaun Watson to have him for decades to come for your franchise, being your franchise quarterback, leading your team. And look at these four teams right here that need him desperately. All of these four teams could need an upgrade at the quarterback position. Tampa Bay and Seattle right now have no quarterback, pretty much, that they're going to be relying on next season being their starter. And, you know, Carolina Panthers, quit dragging your feet. What are we doing here? You're not going to go into next season with Sam Darnold, especially in a year with Matt Rhule where it's looking like, you know, he could be fired if you don't take the next step. And that next step is going to be a Deshaun Watson, a guy that can come in after week six, if it's a 6-game suspension, take over that team and lead them to more wins than we've seen the last few years for the Carolina Panthers. Maybe even cracking on the door of a wild card berth for the Carolina Panthers. And they're in a wide open division as well in that NFC South. You got, you know, the Saints, no quarterback, new head coach now. What are they going to do with the cap constraints? You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, of course, is an option as well for Deshaun Watson because Tom Brady retired, no longer having a quarterback, losing a lot of free agents. The Atlanta Falcons are going to be the Falcons as always. So wide open for those two teams that really desperately can need a Deshaun Watson. But I think the Carolina Panthers are the team, in my opinion, at the forefront of this. They need to be on the phones right now calling the Houston Texans, calling Deshaun Watson, making sure that he is comfortable going there and he will waive that no-trade clause to go to the Carolina Panthers. The Philadelphia Eagles are an interesting one. Just made it to the wild card round with Jalen Hurts, made the playoffs with him. But it looks like when you got to make an upgrade, you got to make an upgrade. So they can move on from Jalen Hurts, maybe even ship him as part of the package. They have 3 first-round picks this year and even more for years to come. You know, still got the 2022 pick, the 2023 pick. A lot of capital to use if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, which is why they're on here, because if they feel like they need to move on from Jalen Hurts, they have the arsenal to do so, to make a move for Deshaun Watson. And the Seattle Seahawks, ever since trading Russell Wilson, that we'll talk about next, they have definitely been in the market as well for wanting to get Deshaun Watson to be their next quarterback. And there's a lot of rumblings around the league circles right now that everyone is predicting Watson to go to the Seattle Seahawks. If I'm the Carolina Panthers, I cannot let that happen. Quit dragging your feet. It's time. You need a new quarterback. You need to save your head coach's job. And it's not going to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets that done. It's not going to be Jameis Winston or Mitch Trubisky in free agency that's going to get that done. It's not going to be Sam Darnold on your roster who's going to get that done. Go out, make this trade for Deshaun Watson by the start of the league year next week. It has to be done. And, you know, as Ian Rapoport says right here, it's expected to be done. A trade for Deshaun Watson by the start of next week. So this is a big storyline unfolding now today in the last hour. That was big to talk about, you know, wasn't on the agenda, but it immediately threw up to the topic of discussion for today's show. Crazy turn of events of what happened here. For Deshaun Watson, getting free of the criminal charges, won't be charged. Trade market expected to blow up in the next few hours, next few days. By the start of next week, expect Deshaun Watson to be on a different team. So now let's get to our second trade of the week. And this, you know, the guy right here next to us, the big bombshell that happened on Tuesday after Aaron Rodgers decided that he will be returning to the Green Bay Packers. Contract still yet to be determined for him, but he will be returning off the trade market. And everyone, you know, the big talk for Aaron Rodgers was the Denver Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett, their new head coach, previous offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. All signs really pointed to Aaron Rodgers going to the Denver Broncos. Big bombshell on Tuesday. He's staying with the Green Bay Packers, as we expected here on the Salt Sports Show. So Denver immediately turned their attention to the next available option. And, you know, all this, of course, didn't happen on Tuesday. This had been going on for weeks. They, of course, expected this to happen, I'm sure, during Combine Week. Made some calls, shook some hands in Indianapolis, and a trade was made on Tuesday morning after the Aaron Rodgers news broke, the Russell Wilson news broke, getting traded to the Denver Broncos. And here is the full deal via Ian Rappaport. The Denver Broncos will be getting Russell Wilson and a fourth round pick in exchange for two first rounders, two second rounders, a fifth rounder, Drew Lock, Shelby Harris, and Noah Fant. What a trade this was to come out on Tuesday between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. This is something that's been brewing for weeks, brewing for months, brewing back to last year with Russell Wilson. And we thought, you know, last week we talked about the quarterback market. We thought Russell Wilson was starting to, you know, cool down a little bit. All the talk from, you know, John Schneider, their general manager, all the talk from Pete Carroll, their head coach. We thought that maybe this is going to cool down. Russell Wilson is going to stay in Seattle. All of a sudden, this comes out of nowhere, blindsides, you know, half the league. And now you look at the Denver Broncos and you think, wow, what a team. You know, what they have offensively, even after losing Noah Fant. Albert O is immediately going to step up into that tight end spot and be, you know, a easily top 10 fantasy tight end. Now with Russell Wilson, you have to think Jerry Jeudy got a big upside. Cortland Sutton, you got Javonte Williams. And that defense as well, still as hungry as ever. You know, they lost a big leader in Shelby Harris, but, you know, still kept a lot of their core pieces intact. You know, they kept Justin Simmons at safety, Pat Surtain at corner. They still got Bradley Chubb on the edge. And now a new head coach, first-timer, and Nathaniel Hackett, ready to lead this team in a loaded AFC West division that only got tougher now. Looking at the Denver Broncos, and honestly, that division is just going to blow itself up. Between the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Chargers, and now the Denver Broncos, all teams that, you know, potentially were playoff teams last year. You know, the Chargers were right on the cusp of it. The Raiders were in it. The Chiefs were in it. And now you add Russell Wilson to that Denver Broncos squad that were only a quarterback away from a championship caliber team. Holy smokes. That AFC West division is absolutely loaded now that they got Russell Wilson. And Seattle, they got a good return, but it's questionable to see what their process is, especially the fact that they're in on Deshaun Watson that we discussed previously. What's the point? I mean, you're going to just get picks back for Russell Wilson, you know, make him happy, get him off the team, but you're going to throw all those picks away for Deshaun Watson. I mean, I get that your roster's still there. You can go with a Watson, but this seemed like a rebuild decision, especially when you factor into the that Bobby Wagner, longtime All-Pro, seven-time All-Pro, future Hall of Famer linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks, was released on the same day. I don't understand what the Seattle Seahawks are really thinking about, but in terms of trade value, I like what they got for Russell Wilson. It's just questionable to see what this team is going to be looking like going forward in the next season. I don't see them getting Deshaun Watson. I don't see them landing a big-name quarterback. I think their best option is going to be a Marcus Mariota or potentially a Jacoby Brissett to go in and battle in that QB room with Drew Lock next season. Maybe they draft one. I'm not sure that they got the ninth pick from the Denver Broncos, but I don't know if that's the route they want to go, especially this year. But of course, you know, we saw all the pictures of Pete Carroll. He was talking with Malik Willis. He talked heavily with Matt Corral. Maybe they go that route. I'm not sure what the Seattle Seahawks do. But this seemed like a decision that was going to eventually be made, but I'm just shocked it happened this week on Tuesday, and I think it shocked a lot of people that Russell Wilson is gone from the Seattle Seahawks, what he did for that team, for that city, but now bringing it to Denver. He's still a guy who's, you know, at the end of his prime right now, but still has a lot more good years left in him, and, you know, now a championship window opening for the Denver Broncos. And look at the last two Super Bowl winners, Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford. The first two quarterbacks in NFL history that won an NFL championship on the first year of a new team. Could it be a third next year with Russell Wilson? Now with that loaded, you know, team in the Denver Broncos, if he can battle in that division, get into a playoff spot, you know, all he has to do is get in the playoffs. It's going to be a tough division to win, but if they can, you know, if they can get into the playoffs, you know, even they have a chance to even win the division. It's going to be neck and neck, I think, the entire season between pretty much all four teams. So it'll be interesting to see. But if this team gets into the playoffs, it'll be a scary team once they get there. And, you know, Russell Wilson has a lot going for him right now with this team, not even for this coming year, but for the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. This Broncos team will be contenders and might be in the neck of it in the playoffs year after year for the near future. So it's exciting to see a trade like this happen, a trade like this go through, and Russell Wilson finally on the move in new uniforms next year with the Denver Broncos. And it wasn't done, you know, it wasn't over then. We come back on Wednesday. Another quarterback trade for the one behind me, but we'll pull it up here in front of you. Carson Wentz traded on Wednesday to the Washington Commanders. The Washington Commanders were heavily interested, and Russell Wilson made a huge offer, including, I believe, 3 first-round picks. But the Seattle Seahawks refused to trade him inside of the NFC, shipped him to the Denver Broncos. The Washington Commanders turned their attention to Carson Wentz from the Indianapolis Colts. We had him on a hot meter on our quarterback market last week, and this is why. Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, and slightly Frank Wright were upset with Carson Wentz. Frank Wright was still the one trying to, you know, groom everything out and make it work with Carson Wentz, but the owner and the general manager were done with Carson Wentz being their quarterback. We talked, you know, had an episode on our channel on YouTube. Is Carson Wentz really going to be a one and done as an Indianapolis Colt? Here it is. One and done. Trade terms via Adam Schefter. The Colts get a 2022 third round pick, a 2023 third round pick that can become a second if Carson Wentz plays 70% of plays, and a 2022 second round pick, while the Washington Commanders get Carson Wentz and a 2022 second round pick. But it's not over there. The Washington Commanders will also be paying the full $28 million due to Carson Wentz this year, which includes a $5 million bonus due next week. From now on, it's Commander Carson. What a trade this one was. This one was, you know, honestly more interesting, in my opinion, than the Russell Wilson trade, because now the Colts are set up in an interesting spot. I mean, they now have 5 quarterbacks in the last 5 years going into this year now looking for a new one. And what do? They still don't have a first-round pick. They didn't get one from Carson Wentz. No one expected them to. In this trade, I honestly like the haul they got back, especially that third that can be a second. It's very similar to the second that became a first that they sent to the Philadelphia Eagles last season. But this one's interesting for the Indianapolis Colts in terms of what they're going to do now at quarterback. You know, the big thing is Jimmy Garoppolo that a lot of people are, you know, headlining on once this trade was made, trying to work out a deal now that they got the extra seconds. Josh Norris from Underdog Fantasy, one of my favorite guys out in the sports media, said it'll be a second and a fourth, most likely for Jimmy Garoppolo. They have the easy capital to make that done. If the Colts want to go that route, I think they can go with a second round pick and maybe a, you know, much later round pick, ship that to potentially Green Bay for a Jordan Love. I know Chris Ballard was interested in him during the 2019 draft from the Green Bay Packers. Now that Aaron Rodgers is staying for the foreseeable future, maybe Jordan Love wants to get out of there. Talk to his agent. Agent talks to Brian Gutekunst, tries to make a trade to land in Indianapolis with Frank Wright. Could be a good situation for him. But it's clear, the Colts wanted someone steady. They wanted a steady quarterback who isn't going to make mistakes. You know, a 9-8 team last year in Indianapolis lost the last 2 games of the season where they just needed to win one. And they're in the playoffs. They lost both of them. Week 18, that game hurt tremendously for the Colts, losing in Jacksonville, of all places, to eliminate them officially from the playoffs last year. And Carson Wentz, he made plays last year, but with every good play he made, arguably he made 1 to 2 bad ones. Just boneheaded mistakes from Carson Wentz, trying to play hero ball time in and time out, and it just didn't work out. With the Colts, you know, he's still a quality quarterback. I mean, I honestly think now on the Washington Commanders, they could make the wild card with Carson Wentz, because I think their defense is that next level, I would say, better than the Colts. The Colts are a top-tier defense, but I think barely right above them will be the caliber and potential of the Washington Commanders. They had an off year last year on defense. But I think with Carson Wentz running the ship as Commander Carson, you know, the weapons they have, Logan Thomas, Curtis Samuel's coming back, Terry McLaurin, of course, Antonio Gibson at running back, J.D. McKissick, they bring him back. They have the tools for Ron Rivera to put something together to push this team up to the next level and go on a push for a wild card. But now for the Colts, they got to find somebody steady. They know they have the playoff team. They're already set. They know they have the most cap space in the NFL now after getting off Carson Wentz's contract, which honestly I think is the biggest part of this trade. This bottom one right here of Adam Schefter saying that Washington is taking on the full $28 million due to Carson Wentz this year, that lets the Colts off scot-free and open now with the most cap space in the NFL to not only try to get a quarterback, but if they get a quarterback like a Jordan Love, they still have tons of cap space to use to go and get somebody big. I'm talking an Allen Robinson. I'm talking an Amari Cooper to add to the wide receiver room if, you know, Cooper becomes available here in the next, you know, few weeks. Big decisions and opportunities up front for Chris Ballard to spend his money. He has been frugal with it. He's had, you know, top cap salary for the last few years. It's time to spend it. Spend it now, whether it's going out and getting a quarterback, you know, even a Matt Ryan you can get, but he is one that just restructured, so I don't know if he's actually going to be a viable option, but a Jimmy Garoppolo, you can easily take on his contract. If he works it out, you can give him an extension after that, entering into his final year. A cheap guy in Jordan Love, a free agent like a steady Teddy to come in and, you know, just hand the ball off, make the throws when you needed to, and don't make the mistakes. Ultimately, that's what this team needs, and that's what this team did not have in Carson Wentz and what really held them back as a franchise last season. So this one is big, in my opinion. I like this trade for both sides. I think both teams could potentially benefit from this if the Colts find their next quarterback, but it was time. They had to get rid of Carson Wentz. The ship has sailed, and it was time to move on. So that was the first two trades on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And guess what? Yesterday, a third trade? This time not a quarterback, but pulling it up. Khalil Mack is now being sent to the LA Chargers for a second round and a third round pick. Second round pick this year, sixth round pick next year. Adding Khalil Mack to the defense of the LA Chargers with Joey Bosa and Derwin James. Holy smokes. Tom Telesco, you did it. You spent money. You made a big trade. You've never done that before. But now, the urgency and the pressure that I'm sure Brandon Staley put on him to go out and make this trade. Brandon Staley worked with Khalil Mack in the past. And my God, what a bargain for Khalil Mack. A second round and a sixth round pick for a guy who, when on the field, is absolutely dominant as a pass rusher, and he can even help in the run game. That was abysmal last season for the LA Chargers, and the Chargers reportedly aren't done yet, still looking to spend more in free agency. They still have a ton of cap space, even after taking on Khalil Mack's contract, looking like they're a big play for a cornerback, potentially a run-stuffing defensive tackle. They could look at either one of those in the draft as well. Still kept that first-round pick they have, I believe, at 17, I think it is, for the LA Chargers. Big opportunity for them. Sitting, 17 in the draft, kept their first-round pick, getting Khalil Mack for a bargain. I mean, you look at what they sent, what the Bears sent to the Raiders back in 2018, two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick to land Khalil Mack from the, at the time, Oakland Raiders, now Las Vegas Raiders, to get Khalil Mack onto the Chicago Bears. He came over now to the Bears at a hefty price. You know, they had one trip to the playoffs, no playoff wins during their time with Khalil Mack. In fact, they went 1-7 against my Green Bay Packers with Khalil Mack, and now shipped him away for a second-round pick and a sixth-round pick. What a failed experiment by the Chicago Bears. You know, all the Bears fans, all the talk when they got Khalil Mack was now they're all of a sudden the Super Bowl contender to watch out for because they have Khalil Mack on their defense. One playoff trip, first round exit with Khalil Mack. But in hindsight for the Bears, they're now sitting at over $120 million in cap space next year. So Ryan Poles, big move by him as a first, coming in his first year at GM for the Chicago Bears, but now has a lot of cap space to use next season. I'm excited to see what they do with it. You know, Allen Robinson, he's going to leave for free agency. You would think that they're going to try to invest in that position to help out with, Justin Fields entering into his third year. That's when you start spending big. Is when a rookie quarterback's entering that third year of his contract. You know, you're looking at it this year with the Cincinnati Bengals. Expect them to spend big next week around Joe Burrow entering into his third year. You're seeing it with the Chargers right here entering into Justin Herbert's third year. That's what I expect the Bears to do next year with all this cap space they now have. Taking on $24 million in dead cap this year, fine, sure, forget about it. Next year is the big year for the Bears. In terms of wanting to spend all this money and get a team around Justin Fields that can, you know, try to make a push in the NFC North with their young quarterback that they expect to be the franchise guy going forward. But this is a big deal for Brandon Staley, for Tom Telesco, for the LA Chargers, and Justin Herbert, especially with Russell Wilson now going to the Denver Broncos. The Raiders, getting in a new head coach in Josh McDaniels. He's excited to start working with Derek Carr. They had a strong defensive playoff team last year. You got Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Easy Super Bowl favorites every single year ever since Patrick Mahomes took over. You have a lot of competition now in that division. And a team that, scraped by last year and, unfortunately came down to the wire and was a bad call away, bad call by the coaching, of course. Bad call away from the playoffs last year in the Chargers. They had to make a move here this offseason in order to compete in that division. Getting Khalil Mack here is a big one to add to that defense, and they now have the cap space to make something happen here in the next few weeks, and I'm excited to see what they do with all that money once free agency opens next week. But a big year ahead for Justin Herbert and this LA Chargers squad in this division, and I told you, this division is going to absolutely blow itself apart. And who is not excited to watch these games? These games between these teams, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chiefs. I mean, come on. And this division is also playing the NFC West. You got the Rams, the 49ers, the Cardinals, all teams that Russell Wilson is going to be facing again, the Broncos, but these other good teams as well. Whatever happens with the Seattle Seahawks. Great games ahead in this division. I'm excited to see just the action, the absolute carnage that's going to be these teams in the AFC West absolutely tearing themselves apart. Is going to be absolutely fun to watch. But big news, of course, to talk about here before we go into a quick break with some breaking news coming out. Big contract for Max Crosby. On the anniversary today of his, life-changing turnaround, going sober, a big contract today with the Las Vegas Raiders. 4 years, $98.98 million for number 98. Congratulations. Deserved all of it after the season you had last year. Shout out to Max Crosby. Rooting for this guy hard. Love what he's done. And I'm loving that he's getting his due. Right now with the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr retweeting that with yes, with multiple yeses. He's excited getting his guy back on defense. Big congratulations to him. Deserves every single penny of that contract, and I'm glad to see him doing well with his career. And also just some little bit of rumors for a guy we talked about recently, Bobby Wagner. Potentially might be going to the Cowboys. That's heating up a little bit. He was released. He's free to sign. With anyone, doesn't have to wait until the league year next week. Cowboys potentially could be in the mix. They're still trying to figure out what they want to do. They made some big moves today, releasing a couple guys off their roster. They're still trying to figure out the Amari Cooper situation going forward with this team. But Leighton Vander Esch, their starting linebacker from last season, is an upcoming free agent. as of next week. So Bobby Wagner potentially could slide his way into that role. Worked with Dan Quinn before. Maybe we could see a reunion here soon with Bobby Wagner going back with Dan Quinn on the Dallas Cowboys defense. That will be one to watch here in the next few days before free agency opens up. Try to see him get a contract with somebody. A 7-time All-Pro. There's a huge market for him already. Lots of teams reaching out. So that one is one to watch out for here in the next few days. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some franchise tags and the upcoming free agent class as well. You're listening to the Slaw Sports Show, and we'll be right back. All right, so we're back here now on the Slaw Sports Show, keeping things rolling along with the big week we just had in the big week ahead in the National Football League. We've talked Deshaun Watson getting the situation potentially cleared up, the interest brewing for him in the next few days on the trade market, multiple teams interested, multiple teams on the phone as we speak, you'd have to think, for Deshaun Watson. We talked about the three big trades that happened during the week with Russell Wilson going to the Denver Broncos, Carson Wentz going to the Washington Commanders, and Khalil Mack going to the Los Angeles Chargers. Three massive trades, and we're just getting started with the NFL offseason. But one thing we do have to talk about from this week as well, and we talked about it here on this title screen, recapping tags. We recapped the trades. Now let's recap the tags. The franchise tag deadline has come and gone this week, and multiple players got the franchise tag. Some we were expecting, a few we weren't, to be quite honest with you. But nevertheless, a lot to talk about here with these guys and the situations ahead in terms of their future with their respective franchises and upcoming contract situations that they're going to have to be figuring out with their team, with their agents. But let's pull it up here. Franchise tags so far, and this is set in stone now with these guys. Let's start off with number 17 right there on the screen in Green Bay, Davante Adams. I said it last week. I've been pounding it on Twitter. Get Davante off your franchise, or excuse me, off your free agent graphics on your articles. I saw it all over the place, all over Twitter, every free agent article, top free agents, top 200 free agents, NFL free agency, what to expect. Every one of them on the graphic front and center had Davante Adams. And who in their right mind actually thought Davante Adams was going to test or even sniff free agency? And yet, I even saw articles and tweets saying that Davante Adams is going to be the most coveted free agent in years. He's not a free agent. This was expected. A $20.1 million franchise tag that the Packers happily signed him to. And now looking ahead, a potential extension by next week, potentially, which would be best case scenario for both sides, getting him long-term situated. Packers legend in the making. Davante Adams ain't going nowhere. Running it back with his boy at quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. It's the Packers bias going to be coming out here, but big franchise tag that everyone saw coming as soon as the Rodgers news broke. Even if the Rodgers news didn't happen, even if he got traded to the Denver Broncos, Davante Adams is still getting that franchise tag. The Packers would be absolutely stupid to let him walk away in terms of what they could get in his value, not only on the field, but on the open market as well if they want to pursue a trade, a tag and trade with him. But now, set in stone, expect the Packers to get an extension done with Davante Adams by the start of the season. Big, big decision made by the Green Bay Packers, and I couldn't be even more happy about it. Getting Davante back, a huge piece, one of the best offensive weapons in the entire league, the best wide receiver in the National Football League. Getting him back right now on a nice contract, that'd be even nicer once the Packers get him on a long-term extension that reworks the cap a little bit, provides some salary cap relief for 2022, and allows the Packers to start making some even more decisions once free agency opens up. But a big move by the Green Bay Packers and Devontae Adams, getting him on that franchise tag for this season. And another wide receiver that we saw potentially, you know, maybe not getting the tag, it was between him and Carlton Davis in Tampa Bay, but Chris Godwin is the one that came away with the franchise tag, $19.1 million. I expect him, honestly, to play on the tag this year. I don't know if they're going to get an extension done, but next year, I think, you know, throughout the season, I think they try to iron something out with him, keep him around with Mike Evans. But a big move by the Buccaneers, keeping him off the free agent market as well, which honestly, that wide receiver market's starting to dry up with just those two names alone off the board, not even making it to free agency. But we'll talk about some of those guys later on once they get to free agency. But Chris Godwin, another big franchise tag made by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, keeping him in-house for at least one more year with a hopeful extension to happen in the near future. Bengals safety Jesse Bates got tagged as well, $12.9 million at safety. Jesse Bates expressed, you know, a little bit of frustration with the Bengals not being able to iron out a long-term deal. This one's going to be the interesting one to consider. He's been unhappy with the team, been unhappy with the front office. If they don't work out a long-term extension, expect him to potentially grow even more frustrated and try to push something by the start of the season, closer to training camp, potentially a trade. You know, this is a tag and trade situation I was thinking about. I don't see him playing on a franchise tag for one more year in Cincinnati. So I expect something to get worked out, either in a contract, if they can do something, or a potential trade down the line for Jesse Bates. Chiefs tackle Orlando Brown, $16.6 million offensive tackle franchise tag is a big one. But again, another one they desperately needed. Orlando Brown had a big boost to that Chiefs offense last year, protecting Patrick Mahomes, you know, being a cornerstone to that offensive line that they desperately needed after the year before back in 2020. So this one was expected with the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, a $16.6 million hit in 2022 on this deal. So reasonable, expected. Chiefs, of course, want to do a long-term contract with them. We'll see if that gets done with Orlando Brown. Potentially, I just see this happening with him playing on it this year and try to work something out next year for Orlando Brown. And this next one was the one, honestly, that shocked me the most, was Cam Robinson getting the franchise tag from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Completely, honestly, shook up my entire working mock draft 2.0, which I'm, you know, of course I'm working on, you know, constantly adjusting things here and there with information coming out, but that's why we're waiting just a couple more weeks before we drop that one for everything to die down a little bit in free agency, get a more clear look at everyone's situation going into the draft. But I did not expect Cam Robinson to get this franchise, a second franchise tag from the Jacksonville Jaguars. It surprised me more than anything. And this shakes up, like I said, the draft boards everywhere. Because everyone, including myself, had the Jacksonville Jaguars going with an offensive tackle with the number one overall pick. A lot of people had Ike Ekwonu out of NC State. I personally had Evan Neal out of Alabama. But now this reshapes everything. And Trent Baalke, a big defensive guy, loves drafting, targeting defensive players in the draft, now potentially has his eyes set on an Aiden Hutchinson with the number one overall pick. That's, you know, reshapes everything with the entire first round, especially that top five where boards are going to fall now. Looking at mock drafts, potentially, you know, they still easily could go with another tackle to bolster, you know, two franchise tackles back to back around Trevor Lawrence, and that offense potentially could be the Doug Peterson move, wanting to protect his young quarterback. But I see this going the other way now. In terms of, you know, where I'm at right now in the draft process, I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be the first player off the board with Cam Robinson getting this unexpected franchise tag from the Jacksonville Jaguars. A big move and a big decision by them, and one that a lot of people did not see coming. So next up, we got three straight tight ends to close out the franchise tag window this season. We'll start with Mike Gesicki out of Miami getting the franchise tag. And a big thing with Mike Gesicki is wanting to be reclassified as a wide receiver on his franchise tag. And you want to know why? $10.9 million franchise tag with the Miami Dolphins. If he is reclassed are redefined as a wide receiver officially for this team. He gets a $7.5 million increase on his franchise tag for next season, being listed as a wide receiver. I mean, look at this right here. Devontae Adams had a $20.1 million tag. Chris Godwin had a $19.1 million tag. And then you go all the way down to Mike Gesicki, sitting at 10.9 on a tight end franchise tag. And honestly, he has a decent case, but I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, last year he lined up at officially tight end on the line on 12% of the snaps last year, majority in the slot. But, you know, what I've heard, you know, around all of the talk, all the, you know, free agency talk, especially talking with, hearing PFF Brad on the Underdog Football Show with Josh Norris and Hayden Winks, PFF Brad made note that the league, you know, honestly values the slot as being still tight end. So it's going to be a tough case for Mike Gesicki to try to get that wide receiver money. But I respect him nonetheless for trying to get the bag and, you know, reclassify himself as a wide receiver. I mean, he doesn't line up online as a traditional tight end. But Doug Peterson did say he wants to, or excuse me, Mike McDaniel did say that he wants to get him in a more blocking role, make that his minor, and majoring as a wide receiver was a big quote coming out of the NFL Combine. Mike McDaniel is a big, you know, believer in what Mike Gesicki can bring to his offense. So this franchise tag was expected for him coming back this year with Mike McDaniel in his first year as his head coach running this offense. But still, why not? Try to get that bag, Mike Gesicki, and get that bag and reclassify it as a wide receiver if you can. I just personally, a decent chance, but I'm not expecting him to get that money at wide receiver. Dalton Schultz, he will stay on that $10.9 million. The same with David Njoku. But start off with Dalton Schultz. That opened the door for today's big move with the Cowboys releasing Blake Jarwin at tight end. They will move forward with Dalton Schultz being their, you know, second to third fiddle of that offense in the passing game now, depending on the situation with Amari Cooper. But if Cooper's off the team, you now have CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup expected to get extended, and then Dalton Schultz right behind him, mixing in as that two or three option in that offense for Dak Prescott. So big by the Cowboys getting him back in. And then David Njoku, another one that honestly surprised me a little bit, was him coming back to the Cleveland Browns. Is he finally going to have an impact on this team? That's what I want to see. I want to see Njoku being a reliable guy. I mean, they have three tight ends already there that are all considerable difference makers in Austin Hooper, who they paid a considerable contract to, and he might be still a cap casualty potentially here with Njoku getting this franchise tag. But they, you know, drafted Harrison Bryant a couple years back. He's starting to come in on his own and making an impact as well. So Njoku, a little bit surprising. But not too far-fetched to see him coming back with the Cleveland Browns. I just want to see more personally of an impact on this team and on this offense out of David Njoku now that they've committed to him coming back for another season. But he's excited to be back and excited to work with the Cleveland Browns again for at least another season. So that's the franchise tags that happened. Recapping those, again, some expected ones, heavily expected ones like Devontae Adams, but also a little bit of some unexpected with Cam Robinson and David Njoku as well. So the free agent, So the franchise tag window came and went this week. So definitely want to go back and recap that one as well. Talk about the implications of each one. What's to come for each of these guys on potential contracts looking forward, and what I'm, you know, personally thinking and my thoughts on the matter. Now let's talk about next week. Big week on the 16th, NFL league year officially begins and free agency opens on Wednesday. So I'm excited to see these dominoes start to fall. So let's talk about who are the big names. Who are these big guys in free agency for the last, you know, we'll do this for the last 15 minutes. Really talk about these guys, break down their situations coming into free agency, my potential suitors for a few of them, actually the majority of them I have written down here that I'm excited to talk about. So let's get into it. Pulling it up here, what we have in terms of, you know, no particular order on who I think is the top free agent or anything like that, but the consensus top guys in no particular order. And I'm going to start with Teron Armstead, offensive lineman from the New Orleans Saints, a huge behemoth guy on the offensive line, was, you know, very consistent with the New Orleans Saints, but now by cap casualties with the Saints, they're going to have to move on from him. Not going to be able to re-sign him, especially with the huge contract that he's going to be able to gather in free agency, you know, the big tackle money expected to come his way. I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins. If you're the Miami Dolphins, get on to the Teron Armstead train right now. Get him on your team. This is the bookend tackle that you need for Tua Tagovailoa in your offense. It hasn't worked in the draft, trying to, you know, draft an offensive line. Teron Armstead is proven. I'm looking here right at the camera. If you're the Dolphins, go out and get Teron Armstead on Wednesday. He's the perfect signing for your team. You have the money to do so. You haven't been using it. Chris Greer, make it happen. Go out and get Teron Armstead. And even if it's not Teron Armstead, even Brandon Scherff as well, former Washington Commander, he is now finally a free agent. We've been, you know, waiting on him to reach free agency, getting, you know, tagged for all these years, finally making his way to the free agent market. One of these two guys, the Miami Dolphins have to walk away with in free agency. And I'm hoping it's Teron Armstead. You had bad luck at tackle in the draft. Make it right here with a proven stud you're going to be adding to your offensive line in Teron Armstead. Next up, let's talk about Von Miller, now a Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion from the LA Rams. A lot of talk of potentially him going back to the Denver Broncos. I don't see it happening. A big name for the Denver Broncos and a big Twitter follow is Benjamin Albright, who has all ins and all insides with the Denver Broncos. He doesn't see it happening with Von Miller making a reunion. Personally, I see him coming back with the LA Rams, but there's still a market out there for him. A lot of teams are interested in Von Miller, including my Green Bay Packers, but I think it's going to be a re-signing in LA with him and Odell Beckham Jr. In ways that they can make it fit, you know, their magic wonder man in LA Rams with Les Snead. He's going to make something happen to get both these guys, I think, back on the roster in 2022 for the LA Rams. So that's Von Miller. Next up, a big name that's had a lot of buzz throughout the entire week is J.C. Jackson. He did not get the franchise tag, which is a big eye-opening for the rest of the league with the New England Patriots. Was it the money? They couldn't get to not expect to have a contract extension in the works for J.C. Jackson to try to have him come back to the New England Patriots. And a big name that shot up out of nowhere during the week was the LA Chargers, the new home of Khalil Mack, the home of Joey Bosa, the home of Derwin James, all these guys that are top five of their position, now looking at upgrading their cornerback position, and who better than J.C. Jackson? The guy is an interception machine, and he's not like Trayvon Diggs over in Dallas with, you know, blown coverages, giving up big plays, but hey, I got an interception. No, J.C. Jackson's a difference maker, a lockdown corner, and a ball hawk at the cornerback position. And the L.A. Chargers rightfully should be all over this guy once free agency opens on Wednesday, throw all that money they have at him. And I think that, honestly, they might walk away with J.C. Jackson in that powder blue and yellow next season in the Chargers. So I'm excited to see, you know, that defense just work with Brandon Staley. This is what I'm expecting to happen. I'm expecting Brandon Staley to push the hand of Tom Telesco again towards a J.C. Jackson. Even not J.C. Jackson, potentially even a Stephon Gilmore as well, is getting a lot of interest on the West Coast right now, potentially in Seattle, San Francisco, and of course the L.A. Chargers as well. So those two guys, but I'm leaning heavily towards J.C. Jackson ending up with the LA Chargers once free agency opens. Another big name that's getting a lot of buzz this week as well is Chandler Jones off of the Arizona Cardinals, a difference maker, a sack machine, like we saw last season teaming up with J.J. Watt. But of course, we heard some stuff on Twitter read through some files there. And Ben Albright, who we discussed earlier, who's got all the ins with the Denver Broncos, said to watch out for the Broncos jonesing it up in free agency, an obvious hint at Chandler Jones. Denver Broncos are looking for their new guy to tag along with Bradley Chubb on that defensive line. I think Chandler Jones would be a great addition for the Broncos, and another one that should likely happen, in my opinion. But we'll just see how that one goes. Chandler Jones is going to have a big market in the open market in free agency. You know, teams like Atlanta are reaching out to him. But he's going to go somewhere where he is going to get his money that he deserves on a contender with a chance to fight for a ring. That's not going to be Atlanta. So look at these other options for Chandler Jones to consider going forward once this thing opens up. And let's backtrack back to Brandon Scherff as well. We talked about Miami Dolphins should be interested, but another couple other teams that should be interested in a great offensive guard in Brandon Scherff will be the Cincinnati Bengals. Build that offensive line. I'm going to pound that drum again this year. Bengals, address the offensive line. I think that they should go after Brandon Scherff, should be their top priority in free agency. The Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants, New York Giants should be huge buyers potentially for Brandon Scherff, and get into that open discussion with him once free agency opens up. That would be a great addition to those offensive lines. Carolina Panthers definitely need him on their offensive line. Depending on who even their quarterback is, it doesn't matter as long as that offensive line get some improvement next year. It'll be great for that team. And the Giants, same scenario, build around Daniel Jones or potentially Mitch Trubisky in free agency. That a lot of rumbling is happening there out of the Giants, potentially wanting to grab Mitch to have a little bit of some competition for old Danny Dimes over there. But now let's talk about the wide receiver position, and then we'll wrap it up with one more safety. So let's start with the wide receiver spots. I talked about earlier how Allen Robinson is the top name in free agency. Finally, free of the Chicago Bears. Did not get a second consecutive franchise tag. He now has the opportunity for the first time in his career, for the second time in his career, to make the decision right and choose a team with a decent to average quarterback to throw the ball to him for the first time in his career. Spent time with Blake Bortles in Jacksonville, chose to go to Chicago, where he has been stuck in prison pretty much for the last few years, instead of going to the Green Bay Packers. I'll take my bias out of here now. But Allen Robinson in free agency, I've heard a lot of talk about the Detroit Lions. Why would you do that to yourself, Allen Robinson? The Lions, it makes sense. Go after a number one wide receiver. But of all your options, Allen Robinson, do you really want to go to the Detroit Lions and play with Jared Goff and or potentially who else they end up getting, because Jared Goff's not the future of that team. But another team that could be interested and should be interested in a top wide receiver, the New England Patriots. Why not want to go there? Play with Bill Belichick in that offense, with Mac Jones, getting him a reliable option at number one wide receiver. Finally on his team next year in the second year. Would be a great addition to have. Bill Belichick wasn't shy of spending money last year. Maybe won't be shy of spending money again this year. But, of course, last year was a huge bargain in free agency in general. So no surprise to see Bill Belichick spend all the money last year and all these bargains that he made during the offseason. This year, maybe try to be a little bit more pick and choosy in free agency. But I think Allen Robinson's one to start looking at as well. And even the Cleveland Browns could be interested in the likes of an Allen Robinson as well. But two more receivers I want to hit on real quick. We heard some news about throughout the grapevine is Marquez Valdes-Scantling from the Green Bay Packers, deep threat option coming off an injury filled season, in and out of the lineup for the Packers last year. Apparently is expecting to have interest in around $10 million per year on his contract, which would be absurd. Thank you for your service. Go get the bag, MVS, because the Packers aren't paying you that kind of money to come back next season. So see what team needs a real burner threat on their team and willing to actually pay $10 million to do so. I don't know if Marquez is going to get that kind of money next week in free agency. But that's what the reports are coming out saying about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And another wide receiver out of Jacksonville as well entering into free agency is DJ Chark. He, in my opinion, should get a really great deal and a well-deserved bag next year. And, you know, going into next year and going into this season, for DJ Chark once free agency opens up. I'm excited to see what he can do on a new team. If he can get back to being healthy, he was a difference maker. They missed him last year in Jacksonville. So I'm excited to see what he can do getting on a good contract somewhere where they value him next year for DJ Chark. So that's the wide receivers. One more to talk about is going to be Tyrann Mathieu. And only because I want to throw it out here, I've been pounding this one the last few days. Washington Commanders. That's where I see Tyrann Mathieu going if he does not re-sign in Kansas City. If it's not going to be the Baltimore Ravens, I want Tyrann Mathieu to end up on the Washington Commanders with Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio in that defense. Landon Collins was just recently released this week by the Washington Commanders. There's an open spot available for Tyrann Mathieu, so I'm excited to see him pair up on that defense with the likes of Jamin Davis, with the likes of De'Aaron Payne, with the likes of Chase Young. A lot of talent on that defense, and adding in a veteran and a leader in Tyrann Mathieu will be big for that team and that defense. They still got a little bit of money to work with to try to squeeze him in there, and I think it'll be a great addition to that team if they can land Tyrann Mathieu. But also watch out, for a re-signing Kansas City or a Baltimore Ravens to swoop in with Eric DaCosta to try to snatch him as well off the free agent market. So Tyrann Mathieu, another name I'm excited to keep an eye on here going into free agency next week. I think we've just about covered pretty much all of it. A lot of stuff that we talked about today on today's show. Three big trades, multiple franchise tags, multiple top names in free agency. We talked about the Max Crosby extension. We talked about the Bobby Wagner release and what's expected to come out of that in the next few days. And of course, the big one expecting to see in the next few days is Deshaun Watson cleared of no criminal charges, and teams are on the phone. And I want to leave it off with this. Carolina, stop dragging your feet. He is available. He is there. Make the trade. Don't let the Eagles swoop in. Don't let the Buccaneers swoop in. Don't let the Seahawks swoop in. Don't let the Steelers swoop in. The quarterbacks are flying off of charts and flying off of the board. You're running out of time and you're running out of options. Make the move now and stop dragging your feet if you're the Carolina Panthers. He's there and he's available. Go get them. That's what we're leaving off with today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It'll be up on the podcast. If you missed any part of today's episode, go back and check out some of our other ones as well. We'll be posting some clips and highlights on Twitter as always. But thank you all for watching. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next week to break down the free agent market as it starts to unfold. Next week, starting on Wednesday, the official start of the new league year. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, peace.